Please be remain standing. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now let's just read it one more time and look at it very carefully. This is an explanation of Paul's success as a Christian. It's why he could say things like this that he learned in whatever state he was in to be content. It's why that he was able to face and overcome so much adversity in his life. The hand of blessing was upon him. And here's the explanation for that. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. There are three things here about the Christ life. What all Paul is saying here is very, very plain and very simple. It's hard to elaborate on it. It's very plain. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. But what does that mean? He said, nevertheless, I live. Then he said, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Then he said, the life that I now live in the flesh, that I now live in the flesh. He said, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, I want to say three things about the Spirit-filled life, the Christ life, the victorious Christian life. The first thing that I want to say about it from this verse, Paul is talking about the possibility that there is for the Christ life. In other words, it's possible. It's possible to every single believer. And the second thing that comes out of this verse is how that Christ life is practiced. In other words, how it's manifested, how it's demonstrated, how the indwelling Christ is lived out. And then in the third place, he mentions a great provocation. I started to use the word motivation, but motivation is just simply too secular and cold a word. But the inspiration, special inspiration and provocation involved in the promotion of the living of Christ through us. Now, first, I want you to notice the possibility. Paul mentions two things here. He says two things. First, he mentions the fact. We're listening to this tonight, not just to learn something about Paul, but to learn something for our own selves. All of this teaching that we had last week and all that we've ever had and bits and pieces and here and there through the years on this subject is something that we need to grasp. And the first thing is to see that Paul said this is very possible and it's possible for two reasons. He mentions them here. He mentions, number one, the fact of identification with Christ. This is something that many, 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 many Christians never get their heads, their hearts, their spirits around. The fact that we are identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're identified with Him in two ways. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. That's talking about death. Nevertheless, I live. That's talking about Christ's resurrection. Paul said, I'm identified with that. When Jesus died on the cross, he's using the word here in the perfect tense. When he said, I am crucified, that's perfect tense. And it could be stated like this, I have been crucified. In Romans 6, look at Romans chapter 6, verse 6 through 11. Here he's talking about the same thing. His identification with Christ in his death. And in chapter 6, verse 6, he said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, that's the third time now he's referred to this death with Christ. He said, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, he says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he's talking about in Galatians 2 and 20, he says, when he says, I'm crucified with Christ, he's saying, I have been crucified with him. Then he says, and nevertheless I live. And Paul is talking about his identification. What Paul is saying here, the facts that he is stating here, apply every bit as much to us. They're just as much a fact for us as they were a fact for the Apostle Paul. He's just stating the fact of the matter here. When he said, nevertheless, I live, he's talking about being identified with Christ in his resurrection. When Jesus died on the cross, we were identified with him. We were with him in that death. And when he rose from the dead, we rose with him unto newness of life. In Colossians 3 and in verse 1, the Bible says this, says that we are risen with Christ. We are. We died with him at the cross, and we rose with him from the tomb. In Romans 6 and 4, it says, as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Why? Because we were identified with him in that resurrection. In verse 5 of Romans 6, it says, if we've been planted in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So this is just teaching that our identity with the Lord Jesus Christ's death and resurrection is a fact that we have to focus on. It's a fact. There's a lot of facts that we don't focus on. There are facts we don't appreciate. We'd be better off. It would be better off for us. We'd be better people if we would focus on certain facts that are good for us to stay aware of and focused on. And our identity with the Lord Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection is one of those facts that we need to focus on. Paul's not guessing about or wishful. This is not wishful thinking. He's stating the fact in his life. He understands it. He gets it. He appreciates it. And therefore, he is profiting from the reality that he understands about his identity with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. So we have to focus on this fact. Every one of us do. Now, for some people, it's harder to focus on anything than it is for other people. Some people can focus on certain things very well, where other people, they can't stay interested long at all in certain things. But here is one thing that every one of us as believers need to really focus on individually. And that is our identity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to focus on it if we're going to be victorious in living the Christian life. We have to focus on it if Jesus is really going to be able to live through us. If he's going to be able to communicate through our mouths, if he's going to be able to go where he wants to go with our bodies and do what he wants to do and manifest himself through us, then we have to focus on the reality and fact of our identity with Christ. We have to get to the place where we can say it as boldly as Paul did, I am crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. So here's the point. When it comes to death and resurrection, Jesus not only died for us 2,000 years ago when he shed his blood and gave up the ghost on the cross. He not only died for us, he died as us. 3 days later, when he rose from the dead and walked out of that tomb, he not only rose for us. Later on, Paul said, if there be no resurrection from the dead, if Christ be not risen, we're of all men most miserable. But he did rise from the dead. And he rose from the dead and had victory over death, not only for us, but as us. That's what the Bible's talking about when it tells us that we were in him concerning his death and his resurrection. And then Paul goes on here in Galatians 2 and 20, and he moves from talking about our identity with Christ. He talks about himself and us being indwelt by Christ. And verse 20 said, Christ liveth in me. We're not only identified with him, but he continues to live in us. He's living in us right now. Now, if you're saved, it doesn't really matter what kind of day you've had. It doesn't matter if you feel like Christ is living in you or not. That doesn't matter at all in a very important way. Because it doesn't change the fact that he's living in you. If you have sinned today, if you've willfully sinned, if you've done something, said something, felt certain feelings that you shouldn't have felt, if you feel anything but spiritual tonight, that doesn't change the fact that Christ is living in you. Christ is living in me. He's living in all of those who are saved. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. If someone will ask you if you're saved, and you can honestly answer, yes, I know that I'm saved, Christ is living in you. He was living in you yesterday. He's living in you today. He'll be living in you tomorrow. Christ is living in you. And just because we don't feel that way, that doesn't change a thing. That doesn't give us any liberty to live any differently than we ought to live with the full awareness that Jesus is living in us. Jesus lives in us tonight. Every one of us that's assembled here in this room. One man was talking about this verse, and he said this, the new life, put it so simply, the new life is simply a person, capital P, within a person, small p. He said, living out his life, capital H-I-S, in that person, small p. Paul is talking about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ living in the persons of those who've been redeemed and who have been identified, therefore, and received what he did on the cross for all mankind who will come to him and benefit from what he did at the cross for us. We had breakfast with the evangelist last week, and I asked the evangelist, I said, what, just to spark up some conversation, I said, sometimes, you know, you've referred to Christ living in us. Other times you've talked about the Holy Spirit living in us. We talk about Jesus indwelling us. We talk about the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Which is it? Well, it's both. Jesus said, my Father and I are one. He is the personification of the Godhead. And when people are saved, the Lord Jesus comes to indwell us, and the Holy Spirit, He indwells us, and His Holy Spirit energizes Him to live through us. Christ in us, Colossians chapter 1, the last verse, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. But see, it's the Holy Spirit that is within us that is energizing forth the life of the Lord Jesus. That's why it's so important. Verses like Galatians 5 and 16 that are very familiar to us. This verse is so important that says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because if we're walking in the Spirit, the life of Christ, the indwelling Christ, is energized forth in us. And when Christ is living in us and through us, it's just impossible for us to fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, that's why it's so important not to grieve the Holy Spirit, not to quench the Holy Spirit. Because just to the degree that we grieve or quench the Holy Spirit, the life of Christ is not able to be brought forth in us and through us. In verse 20, our text, Paul goes on and he says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live. Now look what he says here. He says, yet not I, but Christ. And he says, the life that I now live, I now live in the flesh. He says, the life that I now live, which I now live in the flesh. Now, how do we practice the victorious life, the Christ-like life? How do we practice the Christ life? Here's what Paul said, in your flesh, in these bodies that we have. That's really the only venue we have for it. It's the only medium that we have, is these bodies. That's why it is so important that we understand verses like Romans 12 and verse 1. Paul understood this and he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Present your bodies. He said, it's so important that you get this. Your bodies must be presented. You have to understand that your bodies have to be presented to God as a living sacrifice. That's the way it ought to be, because you're not your own. You're bought with a price. You know, the old offerings that they gave to the priest to offer up to God back in the Old Testament, those things belong to God. When they brought those bulls and calves and lambs and such like, for an offering unto God, they brought them understanding that those belonged to God. And beloved, that's what Paul is meaning when he says, what, know you not that you are not your own, but you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So, how do we live the Christ-like life? Well, Paul said, the life that I now live in the flesh. In the flesh. This flesh. The flesh, I think the evangelist said this, the flesh doesn't control anything. The flesh is under control. It's either under the control of sin or it's under the control of the indwelling Christ who wants to live through us. And then Paul said, not only is this life that is practiced and lived, to be practiced and lived in the flesh, but he said this life is practiced and it's lived by faith. He said, the life which I now live in the flesh, see it in verse 20? I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by faith. We're not saved by works, we're saved by faith. We don't get victory over sin and live the Christ-like life by working and straining and trying and in a legalistic kind of way, putting the whip to ourselves and making sure that we just cross all our I's and dot all our, or cross our T's and dot our I's. But we live by faith. Faith in what? Faith that Jesus really dwells within us. And that he wants to live through us. That's the faith part. See, he said, I'm doing it by the faith of the Son of God. Now, there are four verses in the Bible, one in the Old Testament and three in the New Testament, that say the same thing. Here's what they say. The just, people who are already saved, shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. We become just after we're saved. After we receive eternal life, then we're to live that abundant life, that victorious life, and that's lived by faith. Now, beloved, so important to see that to live the life where Jesus can live through our lives every day. We're not our own. It's Jesus living in us, and He wants to be manifested through us. He wants to be in control. And by faith, we need to accept that, rejoice in it, and plan on it that way. And live our lives in a deliberate way. We're saved. We get eternal life by faith that Jesus gave His life for us for the sake of our salvation. And we also have to accept the fact, by the same token, we have to accept the fact that Christ lives His life in us and through us after we're saved for the sake of our sanctification, so that we can be Spirit-filled and live a Spirit-filled, victorious life. That's all by faith. That's all by believing what the Bible says here. What Paul said about himself is true of all of us. And the New Testament says so again and again and again. So here are these two things. First, the possibility. And that's because of our identity with Christ and the indwelling of the Lord Jesus in. That makes it possible to live the Christ life, for Him to live through us. And then the practice. The practice is in this flesh. Nobody can say, "I would, but my flesh won't let me." The flesh is not in control. The flesh is to be put under control. It's not in control. That's what I meant. Now, thirdly, and closing, Paul says something else about living this Christ life, letting Christ live through us. And he said he had a certain provocation. There's a provocation involved. There's something that promotes this in him. And he gives two reasons. And the two reasons that he gives presents as provocation for him living the way he does, recognizing himself to be dead and yet alive. And the life that he was living was really Christ living through him. He gives two reasons for that. First thing he does is he mentions, and boy howdy, how this will help us. He mentions his awareness of the love that the Lord was showing to him. Amen. Just as clear and as bell, as plain as day. In Galatians chapter 20, he said, "He loved me. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God," he said, "who loved me." He loved me. He said, another place he said, the love of Christ constrains us. The love of Christ compels us. When we think about the love of the Lord Jesus, that's the power in the cross, for one thing. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. There never would have been a cross where Jesus laid down His life for us, where God made provision for our salvation, if it wasn't for the Lord's love for us. He wouldn't have stayed on the cross. And Paul is saying here, "I'm so conscious of His love." And you and I will have success in living the Christ life if we stay conscious of His love for us. And we don't do a very good job a lot of times loving Him like we should, as consistently as we should. But He never misses anything, and there's nothing lacking in His love for us. And we need to think about that. That's why in the last chapter of this book of Galatians, in verse 14 of chapter 6, Paul said, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." He gloried in the cross because this was just the greatest manifestation that he'd ever had of the love of the Lord for him. And it just made him want to be obedient and just die to self, consider self dead, so that Jesus could do what He wants to do and live through us. Then he gave one other thing that provoked him. Not only did he mention his awareness of the love that he knew the Lord had shown to him, but he also mentioned his awareness of the life that he knew the Lord had sacrificed for him. That's huge. That's really huge. In verse 20, he said, not only did he love me, but he gave himself for me. He gave himself for me. It's like Paul is saying, and I know that he wants to live through me. Most of us, as long as we've been Christians, have sung different songs about Christ living through us. We've heard things said about it and so on and so forth. But Paul's saying here, I know that he really wants to live through me. So it's just not something to read about and write song lyrics about and make up music to and so on. But he really wants to live through us, brothers and sisters. He wants to live through us. And Paul said, I'm going to let him live through me. Because I know he loves me. He loves me. There's no more motivating, provocative thing than to know that somebody really loves you. You'd do anything for him. And he said, and not only that, but I know he sacrificed his life for me. He took a life. He took a human body 2,000 years ago or so. Just so in that human body, he could go and give up his life in the cruelest way imaginable. He let his life be taken. And he's ascended up on high. But he indwells every one of us who are saved. And his purpose in that is to live through us. Every aspect of our lives. It would take up a whole lot of our time just to think about all of the ways that is Christ or is Christ not living through me? Is this really Christ living here, or is it me? Is it a demonstration of Jesus, a manifestation of Jesus' Spirit, or is it a manifestation of my own self? My own wants, my own desires. Is it me, or is it Jesus living through me? Let's all stand together.